Good morning. Welcome to Peace Lutheran Church. Welcome to visitors or guests that are with us this morning. There are announcements that have been displayed on our whiteboards, and a couple of them I would like to just bring to your attention. We continue to have our Monday evening service. I know that some, when they've been gone on the weekend and aren't able to gather on Sunday morning, they like to attend that the Monday evening 5:30 service. And so we continue to have that at this time. This Wednesday, the 4th of October, our choir is looking to resume for this upcoming choral season. So if you are, it says, grade 7 to age 99, I'm sure if you're over 99 and would also like to sing, they'll take you and they'll enjoy the voices that raise God glory. And we continue to have the opportunity to be in God's Word following our worship services. There's our Sunday school hour in the Peace Center, and there is a Bible study with me in our church basement. We continue to study the Christian faith through the Lutheranism 101. So we look forward to these studies. This morning, our service is following the Divine Service Setting 3, which can be found on page 184 within the hymnals and is printed upon the whiteboards. Our opening hymn is numbered 812. Invite the congregation to please stand as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I've ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue and speak responsively the introit. Righteous are you, O Lord. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love.
And teach me your statutes.
Blessed are those whose way is blameless.
Walk in the law of the Lord.
Blessed are those who keep his testimonies.
Who seek him with their whole heart.
Oh, that my ways may be steadfast.
In keeping your statutes.
Then I shall not be put to shame.
Fixed on all of your commandments.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Righteous are you, O Lord.
And right are your just decrees.
Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love.
And teach me your statutes. Lord, we implore you, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
Today's Old Testament lesson is from Proverbs chapter 25, verses 6 through 14. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in the gradual. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. The epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
By the congregation, please stand and continue with the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friends, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the gospel of the Lord. I invite you to speak with me the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The congregation may be seated, and the children that are present, I invite forward for a children's message. Good morning, boys and girls. I'm glad that you are here this morning. Mm-hmm. We have some shoes and we have some clothing on this morning. And have you ever had somebody else trying to wear your shoes?
Sometimes
maybe a sibling wears your shoes at some times. And do you ever feel that your sibling has done something that you don't like? Do your siblings ever do things you don't like? Yeah. And are you sometimes maybe annoyed with them and maybe get a little angry and frustrated because of what they do? Yeah, I know it happens. It happened to me and when I had my sisters and I was young. Is that how God wants us to react, though?
No.
No, that's not what God wants us to do. No, He calls for us to love one another, to be patient with one another. So, is it always easy to be patient? No. Is it always easy to show love? No, not quite so easy. But you know who loves you every day? Even if you're frustrated, who loves you each and every day, no matter what?
Jesus.
Yeah. Your Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, they are the ones that love you with the Holy Spirit each and every day, and they desire you to do what you can to love your brothers and sisters and your friends. And that is why God has sent Jesus to help us to be able to love one another in the way that He loves us. And how do we know that God loves us so much? How do you guys know that God loves you? Well, we hear His voice, and well, that's true. We hear His voice when we are listening to God's words, when we're listening to the Bible, and we hear God speaking to us. And sometimes that's through the pastor. The voice of God might be heard that way in our confession and absolution when we hear that we're forgiven. Yes, these are ways that God tells you that He loves you. He assures you that you're forgiven and that He wants to have you spend all of eternity with Him. And so we are called to love one another, to be patient with one another. And so I know it's not always easy, but when you are maybe losing some patience and not feeling always great about what others have done, I invite you to kind of take a breath and You know, ask God to help you have that patience and help you to show your love, okay? And so let us pray now for God to bless us with these gifts. We fold our hands and we say our echo prayer. We pray, Dear Heavenly Father,
Dear Heavenly Father,
we know that you love us dearly.
We know that you love us dearly
and desire that we love our neighbors.
And we desire that we love our neighbors.
Please help me have patience and love.
Please help me have patience and love
for my neighbor all the time.
For my neighbor all the time.
We pray in Jesus' name.
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for coming up this morning. And this morning, our congregation will be continuing by singing hymn 935. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's sermon is based upon our text from Luke chapter 14. So when there is a food line, who is generally at the head of that line? Who is it? Well, the hungriest, and the hungriest, I think I heard somebody said, the kids, right? The children seem to have a way of finding their way to that head of the line. And how long has that been going on? I remember doing it. Who remembers getting to the head of the line for the food? Yeah, I see a few other hands out there. Maybe some of you had parents who taught you a little better how to be patient, but for us, it pretty much was like, all right, get in line, and whoosh, there went the children. Sometimes, though, you can't exactly do that, and we are slowed down by other things when it comes to racing for that food line. Some lines you can't rush to, like when you're at a wedding and they have the wedding banquet and there are tables that everybody is sitting down at, and then the host and hostess is releasing tables, right? And there it's a little different. Maybe you're trying to find a table where you're not going to be, maybe not first, but certainly you don't want to sit at the table that's last to go through the serving line. How many of you have ever looked at the tables and tried to size it up and say, okay, if I sit here, then I don't think I'm going to be last. Maybe I'll be towards the beginning, but any of you done that? Oh, there's hands for that one too, yeah. Because if you're the last table to go through, then some other wedding activities already could be underway by the time you have finished your meal, right? And so we try not to be that last table. And yet, if you sit right next to the food, right next to the buffet line, that doesn't really even guarantee anything. I've been there and been the last to go through at times. And so it's an interesting dilemma. We like to have the abilities to get to certain places in what we feel to be a timely manner. And well, wedding feasts and banquets, it seems as though, well, you aren't always guaranteed. And yet there seems to be places that are more sought after, and that's something that has been going on. We even hear it in our gospel lesson today. Jesus, he's at a Sabbath meal in the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees, and yet he's noticing something about where people have chosen to sit, to recline for meal. And so he tells them about the parable of a wedding feast. For he's seen how many of them want not to get to the food first, but rather to be in those places where they are associated with honor. Now, we told the parable to those who were invited. We noticed how they chose the place of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by he. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place." Honor and shame, they do look a little different in our society, and we kind of treat them differently today. We're all encouraged to be proud of ourselves and our accomplishments, and to a degree, you don't pay attention to what other people think about you. Know who you are and be satisfied with that. Those were a few of the messages that I heard growing up, and so shaming or being honored aren't as important as they may have been for these Pharisees. But yet, there are still things that you and I can learn from this, to be humble in our lives. Rather than being the person that's always going to be seen and the one that's always noticed, the one that makes the front page of the paper or has the most likes on a post in social media, has the most followers, that's not what our Heavenly Father would desire for us. Rather, he wants us to be humble and to learn as he was teaching. Don't imagine that you should have that highest place of honor or be right next to that person. Rather, be humble. Sit where others will say to you, "Hey, move up," as opposed to, "You know what, there's somebody who's more important than you here coming, and I need you to vacate that seat so that they can sit here right next to me." No, we should not expect to always have the highest place, especially when we do know who we are in light of God's word. This morning we spoke back to our Heavenly Father, words that he has spoken to us first and foremost. I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I've ever offended you. We speak our confession, speaking back to God those words that, yes, he has spoken to us and about us, that we are tainted by sin and that we are certainly deserving, because of our sins, of both punishment here now and also eternally. That is who we are in God's eyes. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. We are all injured, needing to be healed. The Pharisees, they'd invited Jesus. They're doing their typical, usual thing. They want to be honored and respected. And to this gathering comes a man who has a physical problem, who has dropsy. Certainly he would not have been highly honored in their presence. He would not have been the one to be seated in the most prominent place. Rather, they would have looked down upon him and judged that he had been sinful at some point in his life, and that this was God's punishment upon him. And so we see that he is also there. And then they're watching Jesus carefully. What will he do on this Sabbath day? How will he treat this man? Jesus, as he typically does, has a really good idea of the situation that he's in. He says to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" He already has an idea of what they're thinking. Will he heal them on the Sabbath when he shouldn't, according to all their rules? What will he do with this sinful man? They don't give him an answer, and so Jesus does what he intends to do. He takes the man and heals him and sends him on his way. And then he asks those that are gathered, "Well, which of you, if your son or an ox had fallen into a well, would not pull him up immediately? Who would not seek to do what is right, good, and proper, to help bring aid to a person or even an animal, even on the Sabbath?" And they give him no reply. Who is being honored by Jesus when he heals this man on the Sabbath? Is it Jesus that is being seen as needing honor and glory, or is it to God that the glory is given? For certainly it's not Jesus alone who heals this man. Or is the healing actually harming God and his character on this Sabbath day? Should Jesus have observed the law? Well, is God not honored greater when we are helping one another, living out the life that he wills for us, to love our neighbors as ourselves, as opposed to seeing a need knowing we could help meet it and saying, oh, can't do it today. Guess I'll